All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with the great Roy Red for another edition of Business with Roy live on Eagle FM. And we had some good feedback from our episode last week. We touched on a whole lot of topics, actually, but the one that a lot of people have been getting back to me on is about the information, the food that we feed our brains primarily through books. And lucky for us, we're joined by a six-time best-selling author, so I thought it would be a good idea to run through Roy's books. We'll start at the very first one and all the way to the last one, and we'll talk about why these books are important to read, what they do for the mind, and how they help us in the world of business. But first, Roy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, man. I was a little angry the last couple of days with, you know, all the Epstein files releasing, and just reading them and finding out all this stuff was kind of disheartening. But other than that, business is going good. Content is going good. I'm excited you guys are liking, what we're putting down. So hopefully we can just continue to bring value so you guys can actually get real world results.
100%. There were some names I didn't expect to see in those files, but we'll leave that for another day. So yeah, let's get right into it with the books. Let's start with the very first book you wrote. We briefly touched on that during the first episode, but let's dive a little bit deeper into it. Tell us the name of that book, what it's about, why people should read it, and what gems can people pick up from this book?
So the book is The Success Magnet, The Five Values That Attract Success. And even though the book is titled The Success Magnet, it's really a book written about self expression and how there's five values that if
all
you
right, ladies and gentlemen,
them,
welcome
back,
back
to another fantastic edition of Business with Roy
with none other than great Roy Red himself. Continuing our show here on Eagle FM, we've had some good feedback from the guys at local and international team. The comments on it, social media, so keep them coming in. Last week you spoke about, eating the mind, basically, and you said mental input equals mental and physical output. And, some of the feedback that we got, a lot of people hitting my personal number says, who is this guy that you're talking to?
Like, how do you go to the gym every day? I've probably missed 3 days in 15 years. Like, how do you know every day? And I'm like,
you'll show here on Eagle FM, we've had some good feedback from it.
Well, I said, anything that you can do in any goal you want to, what you want. So as I'm telling you guys, test this stuff, question me. You should, there's a Latin saying that I love. It's goes nullius in verba. And that means on nobody's word. Don't take anything on anybody's word. Test it. But the problem with a lot of, people now is they watch all this content. And they're too lazy to go verify. Like I had a friend, we were talking about the Epstein files, and she said, oh, Obama's not in the Epstein files. And I was like, did you look? did you look? You could literally go on there and search. And of course, people don't look. They just go by what they see online. You need to go verify and have your own process. And don't trust anybody. Trust yourself, right? And so if I'm telling you stuff, go try it. Reach out to me. Reach out to Hende. Ask questions. Do what you need to do to verify the process. And here's the thing. I live by an axiom. And that axiom is, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Because there's some things that will work for me that may not work for you. You know what I mean? I'm more of a meat eater, carnivore diet, kind of eat what I want. And someone else might say, oh, that's not right. You should be vegan. As long as it works, it's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, for people, what I've noticed is it's a lot easier to disagree with the social media posts and actually going out and doing the work yourself to verify this information so you can have an informed opinion. I guess that is just the times we live in today, ain't it?
Well, it's always been that way. Social media is just pipes. People try to blame social media. Social media is just a tool. It's people who fills them. It's just human nature. And the brain, the human brain, until you wire it to work, it's naturally lazy. It doesn't want to do the work, right? It just wants to eat It's worried about reproduction. It's worried about all those biological things until you rewire it for performance and for work and doing all those things. So, and it's not even to like talk about those people. We're the same way. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm chilling and sometimes I don't verify like I should, but at the end of the day, if you really want to know something, you want to verify, you want to do the work and, you want to get a result back and see if that input actually gave me the output that I wanted.
Yeah. And just to follow up on what you said, and kind of piggyback on what we were talking about, last week, this concept concerning about rewiring. No, you were talking about rewiring basically for the better. But what I want the people to also again is that you can, and usually unintentionally, but rewire yourself like for the worst, like how we're talking about with procrastination and all of that stuff. So maybe for this one, just wanna re-emphasize on that point that rewiring also works like in the opposite direction, in a negative way.
Yeah, I actually made a tweet where I said, anything that you can do and any goal you want to achieve is easy. It's easy to do. But what makes it hard is it's easy also not to do it. It's so easy to just.
It's a bit easier.
It's probably easier, but it's easy not to do. And wiring is just like your default of what you're going to do. You're going to force yourself to do it until the wiring is there. And then it just becomes easy. Like, people are like, how do you go to the gym every day? I've probably missed 3 days in 15 years. Like, how do you know every day? And I'm like, I don't even think about it. It's just the way I'm wired. It's just my cloth. It's just the way I'm made now. And so there's something in neuroscience called neuroplasticity, where your brain actually changes based on when you struggle and do something, it changes and then that becomes your new default. So you have neuroplasticity and you have hyperplasticity. That's why excuses are so bad, because there are no excuses. Your brain is elastic. It changes based on your habits, based on what you read, based on, like we said last episode, the inputs. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's easier to just kind of lay down and because remember we talked about fight or flight or freeze? The natural thing to do is to actually fight. A lot of people don't know that. The natural thing to do is fight. But it's easier to fight with your fingers rather than tight in the real world and actually getting the... So that's just how it is. And, you know, I welcome all criticism.
100%. And just to piggyback off the neuroplasticity point, you know, I like to liken life to sports, really. When you're part of a team or even an individual, the harder you train, the better you become. You're teaching your mind behind you and you need to overcome hard days and things, while you're trying to sell in competition. And that's a perfect metaphor for life, really. And I would assume Zim is also.
Yeah. And it's easier that's why a lot of my friends were ex-athletes or military, because when you're a kid and you're working towards building discipline or learning a skill or learning a sport, you know how it feels to suck and then get good and go through that struggle. So you know the process. People who never went through that, they don't know the process and they don't understand. The actual trigger for neuroplasticity is stress. They call it threat inoculation or stress inoculation. And so you literally got to go through that to change yourself. And when you've done it so many times, because you were an athlete, working on a move, being tired, can't breathe, can't sleep, whatever that stress is, you know what's on the other side. And if you've never been through it, you're just like, oh, is this working? When you're wearing that stress, man, this don't work. Man, you know, you don't understand what can really happen if you just stick with it.
Exactly. So what I want to talk about today, Roy, is the processes from going from ideation to the actual action in the world of wilderness and others now. So if you can, let's start with when you had the idea to get to his business acquisition industry, how long did you go from or what was the timeline going from, okay, this is what I want to know you to your first deal in US industry?
Let's see. I would say about a year. I procrastinated for about a year. And a lot of people see procrastination as being bad, and it can get bad. But also sometimes your mind, once you have an idea, once you learn something, your mind purposely gets distracted and it's working on how to solve that problem in your mammalian brain, in your limbic brain, in the hindbrain. So you're not aware of it. Your conscious goes to do something else, but then your hindbrain is still working on that problem. And, you know, I just was learning, reading a lot of books on it. I've always been a voracious reader. I just read a lot because they literally put secrets in the books. And then
before you got to not even your job, when you said you read like book a week, you know how many people were texting me like this guy is lying. Not fast it was to read a book a week and all of that. So I just want to let you know you have a lot of doubt.
That's crazy because I know people who read a book or multiple a day. Right.
Yeah.
There's a guy out there named Ty Lopez, and I've met him once, but people don't believe he reads a book a day. They literally sometimes when something's hard for them, they just be like, no way someone's doing this. Like, I was telling, my friend who's a doctor, his name is Rocky, that he was like, how much weight can you do on the dumbbells on the press? And I was like, probably like 150. Each dumbbell. And I weigh 165 pounds in day. He couldn't fathom. He said, no way. Like, come on, man. 150? That's crazy. That's 300 pounds. You're a buck 65 soaking wet. And then I showed him a video of me doing the 150 pound dumbbells on a ball. I do it on the ball. Sometimes you get so good that people don't even believe you can do it. And then when you tell people you can do it, you sound ignorant but I've been working out every day since I was 15. It's just growth over time. And I'm not going to lie. I have really good genetics. I'm fast, twitchy genetics. I'm probably Igbo. I probably got some Igbo genetics. You know what I'm saying? And my dad was really strong, and my whole family on my dad's side are insanely strong, and they're real skinny, wiry guys. So sometimes if we can't do something, we go, no way. And let me tell you something. A book a week is nothing. That's not even a lot. There's dudes reading a book a day. And I would employ people instead of just doubting it. Go learn it. Go do it yourself. The first thing I would do is get a speed reading class, because everyone could double or triple how fast they read by learning the speed read. You can get a book on speed reading. I actually read a book on this, and that's why I can read a book so fast. If you have a pointer when you're reading, you can read 2 times faster, just as if you have a pointer. Also, I've written so many books. I know how books are written. So I know, how to read them and extract the information from them fast. But that's crazy because a book a week doesn't even seem like a lot to me. Right now, I'm reading a book on the mechanics of consciousness. There's a doctor named Inhofe who learned the mechanics of consciousness, and the CIA actually like took a lot of his work, and then he ended up magically deleting. He passed away, man, crazily. We don't know how. We're not gonna touch that. But he talks about how different ways that people can use frequencies to put internal dialogue in people that they didn't have prior, like brainwashing. So that's what I'm reading right now, and then I already have my book that I'm going to read next. It's another kind of CIA book by John Marks. It's called The Search for the Manchurian Candidate, where they talk about MK Ultra and the stuff they did with Washington and the CIA. And
yeah,
I like reading this because I'm trying to learn more about the brain. Like, how can I improve my marketing? How can I get to the point where I can make people believe I read a book a week. They don't think I'm lying. And also people who lie a lot think people are lying all the time.
It's a bit scarce of the war.
Because that's how they're programmed.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so sorry for sidetracking that one. You were talking about
good.
About the when you had that idea, so you then you started on the acquisition business. You said you were a year. It took you around a year.
Yeah, it took a while. I was kind of working on it, and the way my brain works is I take in a lot of information, and then anything I'm learning one day it just clicks. It's weird like that. It just happened in an instant. Like when I was in paramedic school, I was learning all the paramedic stuff, and I'm like, damn, I'm learning all this stuff, and I didn't really understand. And I got through school, and I would say after like a week of working in the field, it just clicked, where I can look at someone, I know exactly what's wrong with them, what's going on, if they're ANL times four, which means if they're like awake and alert, and I can just look at people. I can tell you their medical problems. I can tell you if they're moving bad. I can tell you what the disposition's going to be, the ending's going to be in the medical field. It just clicks. Same with writing a book. That took me about a year. I was just learning and looking, and then one day I sat down and wrote and actually got it done. And same thing with the acquisitions. I was learning, and I didn't quite get it. And actually, I had all the information, and my trigger to make it click was my friend Daniel Martinez, who's owner of Nightfire CRM. He hit me one day and he said, man, with creative financing, you can buy anything with creative financing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was breaking it down. And I was like, this is everything I've been learning in my acquisitions. I was like, this works. And so then in that next 2 weeks, a year, I didn't do nothing. In the next 2 weeks, I set up my email campaign. I did reach out, and I just took massive action, and I did a deal in about 2 or 3 weeks in early 2003. And I did a deal on creative finance, which was a seller's note. No money out of pocket, right? And so I actually have people, you know, I have a chairman, and I have people who don't think that you can buy a business with no money out of pocket until they see it. They're like, wow, you could actually do this. And so a lot of times we just don't think things can happen until we see it. And that's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. And if you just have faith and you push forward, you're going to see certain distinctions as you're pushing forward, and you can make it happen. And you just gotta put them in.
So basically, what took you around the room, yeah, you really gone in, let's say, it would take a month or so.
Yeah. It was literally procrastination, but it didn't really click. You know how something just clicks in your head and you're like, oh, that's how this goes. I think it takes a ton of information and letting your brain work through the problems until it clicks. But then there's some people who move fast, even when they don't understand it. Those are the people who get rich fast and have real successful businesses, because they know it's going to click eventually.
So following up on that, let's talk about, I feel that it is a balance between sometimes taking too long and sometimes moving too fast, right? Right. Like you might have this like grand overall idea, but you don't have the details tying down out yet.
Yeah.
Talk about how moving too fast can also be detrimental, whether it's life or business. And if you've had experience that.
I actually think moving fast is good, because here's the thing. And you should move at your speed, but here's the thing. The key to achieving something is making good decisions, right? But making good decisions comes from making bad decisions. So the faster you make the bad decisions, the faster you can make good decisions. So, I still go faster than most people, and there's people who go faster than me, but, it just really comes down to your ability to figure things out, which, I got to give credit to my dad. As a kid, he used to always be like, figure it out. And so I always worked that muscle growing up. Hey, Dad, can you teach me how to tie my shoes? Figure it out. Right. And when you figure things out on your own, it creates this level of confidence that when you go to figure something else out later, then you're going to do it faster because you know what you're capable of and you know you've done it before. And everyone here has been in that place where they're like, I don't know if I could figure this out. And then they do. Use that past experience to power you to the future. And I would say go as fast as you can, as fast as you could tolerate.
I want to go back. You're talking about creative financing. You can break that down for a little listeners, explain what that is and why it sits. And then take his tools to be used, especially during the industry.
Yeah. Just think you could buy anything as long as you come up with terms that you both agree with, right? Mm-hmm. Like right now in America, there's not a lot of, it's houses are very crazy expensive. Like a two bedroom house that's like broken down. It's like $1 million in the city, right? And so it's rough getting loans and for people to get a mortgage. Why don't you just you find someone who's motivated to sell. Maybe they're like 70, they're living alone, they need some money. They don't need this big house anymore because they're by themselves and they'll rather go rent an apartment, but they just need the money until, you know, for the next 10 years, because they're only going to be here the next 10, 15 years, right? They're getting older. They might even need help and go to a nursing home. You can come to them and say, hey, I'll buy this house from you. I'll put this money down and I'll pay you whatever amount you guys agree on over 10, 20, 30 years. And you don't even have to touch the bank. You can turn the person that you're buying it from into the bank and come up with terms. And you can buy anything this way. You could buy houses this way. You could buy businesses this way. I employ people to go buy assets this way because those assets can make you money. So you can make money with your money. And if that business owner or whoever sells you that asset, if they're just done and they're tired, they don't mind taking money from their own business. You're helping them by taking over, right? And so I employ people to buy assets this way. And then after you have some money, then you can go buy luxury stuff this way. Imagine if you have a jet that costs $1 million, but you want a jet, like you've always wanted a jet, and you don't have that $1 million, but you can afford the $8,000 a month. Go to the person who doesn't use the jet no more. They don't want it. And nobody wants to buy their jet because nobody wants to buy a used jet. You know, especially if you're rich, I'm going to get me a new jet. You can go to them and say, hey, I'll take this jet off your hands. Here, let me throw you $50,000 now. And then I'll pay you $8,000 a month until the jet's paid off. Now you have your own jet. So it's literally however you can be creative, however you can figure it out, whatever deal you make with the other person. And this is why the Jewish community is crushing it, because they understand this. They're all about negotiating, and they know that any deal you make with someone, you can put anything in a contract. You don't need to have the government or mortgage or the bank involved. You can do it yourself. And then my model, when I buy a business with no money down and then we make that business more money, then we go to a bank and refinance it. But technically it's not a refinance because we never financed it from the bank. Right. And so we can get some liquidity that way. But anything you could think of, you could buy. You need to get to the point where you never take no as an answer. There's always a way to figure it out. If someone's like, no, just think, okay, well, what about this? What about that? You negotiate, right? And so, put your negotiation hat on, figure it out, and whatever works for both parties, it's a win-win every time. That's the great part about capital.
So what I'm waiting in, these are essentially like gentlemen. They're not.
Yes.
There's no like, bank, or like you said, not say bang, or lawyer, or whatever, and all this, just means party A and party B.
Just between party A and party B. You don't need a bank, or you don't even need a lawyer. And in the past, you had to learn how to do contracts, right? But now you got AI. You can figure it out yourself. You could go make your own contract. You could tell AI, this is what I want in the contract. This is what we both agreed on, and just make sure it's perfect, work together. And then you agree on it. And we have, I don't know about if it's like this in other countries, but in America, there's the biggest generation ever to live is they're passing away in the next 10, 15 years. So it's the biggest transition of wealth in the history of the world, actually, here in America. Mm-hmm. They have all the money and they're all 70, 80, 90 and they're on their way out. And so they have assets, they have money, they have things and they want to retire. We can all just give them a way to do that.
Okay. You meet some old boomer, like 60, 65 years old or whatever. He has a business you're interested in. You guys are like, okay, I'm going to put 100K down and then for the next, let's call it 5 years, I'm going to pay you, I don't know, like 10 grand a month until the value of that is even reached.
Yes.
What happens if 5 months, or you're gonna give your final friendly says, like, you know what? I changed my mind. I know we agreed to ADNC, but since, you know, didn't have a bank or whatever, I'm just gonna keep my business and thanks for paying me 10 grand a month for the past whole year. What happens then?
That can't happen. You have a contract, so you're binding to the contract, so you can sue them. Or you can go back to the table and renegotiate, right? You can go back to the table and renegotiate. The only time that they can actually take their business back is if you don't own up to your side of the contract. Let's say you're not paying or something like that. That's really the only way, but they don't want it. They're tired. The only moving part in creative finance is a motivated seller. And here, let me give you the perfect motivated seller. The perfect motivated seller is a 72-year-old who has a medical problem and every day he's waking up in pain and he's like, gosh, I gotta make it to this business and work. And I just really want to stop and relax, but I can't because I have 15 employees and without me, they won't be able to feed their families. That's what they're struggling with. And if a young buck comes in, you know, 25 to 30 and he's like, I'll take over. I'll do what you do. I'll pay you this and I'll take care of your employees. That is a lifesaver for him. He's like, thank God I have a way to retire now. I have a way to relax. Yeah. I have a way to relax because I don't have to worry about anything anymore.
Yeah, no, right. I fully get that. You know, I don't know if it's how it is in the US here, a lot of the like older business people hand it down now. They don't really sell, send it down to in a few whatever. So that's how wealth stays in certain communities. And I mean, maybe I'm not sure if it's the same thing in America.
Yeah, it's the same. People, you know, I email people and they're like, oh, it's a family business, or oh, my son's going to take over. I had one where the son, he didn't trust the son to run it properly. So he was like, I'll sell it to you. Can you just give my son some equity and he'll work for you and give him this much money? It's nothing but having a conversation and negotiating. That's all that it comes down to.
Now, let's go back to the whole idea to your implementation, timeline. What are some common, I guess you could say, roadblocks that prevent people from going from the final implementation?
Belief. The first thing is belief. They don't believe they could do it. They don't have certainty they could do it. They let the negative, self-talk in their head keep them from moving forward. And if that's you, just realize you're in a place where you don't know what you don't know. And when you start to know what you don't know and then you start to know it, then you're going to have more certainty, as you go. Don't get beat down by the how. Just know what you want to do, know why you want to do it, and you can always figure out the how. And when problems come up, you know, Hende, you know the difference between a failure and a successful person? A failure starts something out. They get to a problem and they go, I don't know that, or I don't have that. So they quit. A successful person just says, I don't know that. Let me go learn it. I don't have that. Let me go get it. Let me figure this out. And that's literally the only difference. And so it starts with the belief. Mm-hmm. Then they're not putting in the work. And then they're just not problem solving. That's the only thing. And so when you're going from idea to implementation, just start. Start now, get sexy later. That's, my boy, Charles says that. Start now, get sexy later. Cause you're going to get better. But here's the thing. They're not afraid to fail. They're afraid for other people to see them fail. They don't like looking bad. And guess what? You're going to look bad in the beginning because you're not going to be good. If you go, I got YouTube videos where I first started talking, they sucked. I was terrible. It's like, this. And it's funny. I went on the podcast a couple weeks ago and they were like, man, you're so good at talking and relaying ideas and you don't even say much. And I'm like, they're like, you're so naturally good. And that's the problem people have too, is they think other people are naturals and they discredit the work.
Yeah.
Nobody's a natural. Well, I guess there's some naturals, but no. I've been doing this for over a decade. I've been talking for over a decade. I've talked to crowds of 500, 1,000, 5,000 people. I put in the work, and at the end of the day, you gotta be bad. Like comedians, you know, comedians go up there. Kevin Hart will tell the story about how he bombed, and someone threw food at him. He was so bad. And now look at him. He's like one of the best comedians ever, right? And so at the end of the day, you got to suck until you get good. So just go out, do the work, keep learning, be locked in, be committed to mastery, suck now, start now, get sexy later.
That's a great say. I'm going to remember that one for sure, sure. Have you ever had a bad idea, Dia?
What? Every day. Every day. All the time. I've had
like, what's an example? Sorry. Go ahead.
I've had books that were bad ideas that I written and never launched them. Here's the thing. When you're like me and you're so optimistic, you literally forget when you have bad, when you had failures, but I've had so many. So many failures, lost so much money, so many bad ideas. I have an idea right now I was working on. So I actually coded this box bot locally. I coded an AI. I don't want to say bot. It's smart. Put it locally on my computer. I coded it and now it can control everything on my computer and my phone. It can like text my family. It can like write books. It can do anything I can do on a computer. And so, my friend Tony, he always sends me music on Apple Music, but I use Spotify. And so I was like, well, what if you can create a little like app that takes a playlist or a song from Apple and it just automatically loads it into whatever you use? So I zipped up this bot. I didn't even zip up. I created a bot that does anything. And then I just told it to make this app and it's called PlayShare. And so, oh wow, I probably shouldn't be giving this out because I'm not relaunching this. Whatever. I'll just launch it faster. So I'll take my idea. And so what happens is if you have a playlist, you just put the link in there. And then you can click what you use, either Tidal, Spotify, or Apple. Then you click it and then it automatically opens that. And I had my AI make that for me while I was chilling, watching Netflix with my girl. And I thought it was a good idea. My boy Tony was like, yo, that's a good idea. Cause I use Apple and people use Spotify. But then as I was asking some of my friends, they were like, yeah, no. People usually use Spotify. So I'm not even sure if there's something the market will really want. But guess what, Hende? I'm going to put it out. I'm going to put it out for free and just be like, look, this is cool. Maybe run some ads, get some feedback. Mm-hmm. And if it ends up being a good idea or a bad idea, who knows? You don't know until you do the work. But everyone who is successful had this great idea. They always had bad ideas. That and then somehow they reiterated or they pivoted and they created a good idea. I don't have any post-it notes, but you know, post-it notes.
Yeah.
They were trying to create a tape, like this really strong adhesive tape, and it didn't work. And so what they did was when they had the tape, they would take the piece of papers with the tape and they started using them and just writing notes on them. And then someone walked by and was like, oh, this is a product. We'll call it Post-it notes. And so those Post-it notes that everybody used, billion-dollar company, came from them trying to make something else. And then they just pivoted and was like, oh, people could use these Post-it notes to keep notes at their desk, right? Quick notes. And so usually nobody's first ideas work properly, right? Even in my acquisitions, my first acquisition was in healthcare, but now I'm in a different industry because healthcare is kind of getting more consolidated, being less consolidated. So it's a little bit different. And so I had to pivot on that. And so this is life, man. You're constantly going to be learning. You're constantly going to be pivoting. And never ask, when does this end and when do I just get to the mountaintop? Never. Until you DIE, you're going to work until you're done. You're going to stay getting better, stay reiterating, stay getting new ideas. And people like us in Day who are creative, this is kind of our problem because we have so many ideas all the time that we're always trying to execute on them. You know, me doing this app is taking me away from my business, but hopefully my chairman doesn't see this. He'll text him and say, focus, stop working any other stuff. But that's just our bit, right?
Yeah, no, that's definitely probably a vibe I have. Like, trying to do too anything that you want to one. It's a struggle sometimes. Like, you do, like, 10% of one thing, and then while you're doing that, you take, oh, I have to do this, or let me do this quickly, and then you just end up doing nothing instead. Yeah.
There's actually some science behind that. If you're working on an idea, we like to take an idea and take it and implement it. But the moment you know the idea, or you learned it, or you know the idea is gonna work, sometimes then we lose passion in it. We're like, oh, this will work. Okay, got it. Next thing. You know what I mean? It's called it's in a cognitive test. It's called a quick start. If you take your Kathy Kobe cognitive test, Kathy Kobe, Kolbe. Those type of
boys are like Kobe, like Kobe Ryan.
No, yeah, that's how you spell her. She spells her last name, but with an L. It's called a cognitive test. It's how you take action. And those type of people are high in what's called quick start. I'm a high quick start. But when you know you're a high quick start, then you need to go find people who are high implement. And then you should work together.
Okay. I'm seeing it here. I'll definitely take this.
Yeah. No, it's dope. Because me and my girlfriend took it. So now we know how we take action. So it helps you collaborate better and helps relationships.
And when you're not thinking about reaching the mountaintop, without giving away too much of your personal goals and so on, if you had to give a percentage, like where are you now compared to where you want to be percentage-wise?
Oh.
Or do you even know where you want to be in the quote-unquote end?
So, we're always kind of a beta version of our true selves. That's just something that's always going to be. But in this iteration of where I'm going right now, I would say I'm about 20%. Yeah. I'm going to give two. Financially, I'm about 1%. And then mentally, what I need to know to get there, I'm about 20%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to really take it to another level, right? And someone, you know, most people, like, the first thing, when I first made my first $2 million deal, people would ask me, what changed since now you know you're worth that? The first thing I thought was like, this is not that much money like people think. So my goal changed to a lot more. And I'm also I think people should set goals that they can't achieve in their life. you should have the goals that you can, but then you should have like a goal that's so crazy that's going to pull you towards it. Because when you shoot at the, when you shoot at the stars, maybe you'll at least hit the moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you said, the honey and wine with sense. You think you would have answered that same question the same as I say back in like 2003 and someone said, in however many years you're going to have achieved just this and this, back then, would you think you would have answered it the same, or is this mentality something that I think developed over time?
It's developed over time. If you would have asked me back then, I would have told you 60%. What told you I was way higher, because I didn't know what I did. I didn't know what I didn't know. I wasn't around the people I'm around now. I wasn't doing the things I'm doing now. I didn't know what I know now. I would have thought I'm way more ahead, because I was still making, well, 2003, I wasn't making good money yet. But like, I'm thinking like around the 2011 time when I first started my business, I was making, well, back then that was good money. I was making good money. I had bought a house and I'm like, yo, I'm crushing it. Like I'm doing my thing. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't understand some things about money. It's all about information. Anything, you gotta know the info. Not knowing is so bad for you and detrimental. So I had lost a lot of money way back then because I sold an asset that I thought was going to crash, but I didn't know that America was going to implement quantitative easing. And quantitative easing is when they print money. So if you know anything about America, it's working off debt. We've had negative GDP since 2008. But what they do is they just print money and then force the rest of the world to use their money for oil. So I didn't understand. I could understand quantitative easing because that was the first time they did it was in 2008. But if they didn't do quantitative easing, I would have been right. But they did. And so I probably lost almost $1 million because I didn't know they were going to do quantitative easing. So it's all about what you know and, you know, take your L's on the chest and it is what it is.
Yeah, expensive lesson like that. Well, so as we wrap up, I want to get, your thoughts on the year. You like, not just in your industry, you just start with your industry, that what you think the trends for this year are, but just overall and in the way in the business. What do you see
for 2026?
Crypto's going down bad. Bitcoin will probably go to 25. There'll be a big crypto crash amongst all cryptos. I think the only one that won't crash and I think actually will go up is one called Zcash. I won't say why. Do your homework. Go learn. Bitcoin to 25. Everything's going down. I think the winners this year are people who aggressively chase their goals. People who, have cash so that they can buy assets, or people who know creative financing because a lot of assets are going to be on the market. The world is going on sale. And if you can run up a bag this year, in 2027, I think crypto recovers and then I think stocks crash around the world. I don't know if it'll be America or the world, but at very least America, then it'll be a stock crash 2027. So I think there's going to be a big transition in wealth and it's starting this year. And so,
yeah.
You got to get going. You got to get figuring out how you're going to make you some money, how you're going to buy you some assets. And just be really aggressive and be really locked in and be a workhorse this year. And then in 2028, I think everything recovers and I think we go back to a bull market for everything everywhere. And so during this next 2 years, I think you can really change the landscape for your family.
So you think if you can afford it, you should buy crypto at the end of the year, once it, if it did get the 25 more, like you said?
Yeah, I think it's going to go to 25. I'm going to probably buy Bitcoin at 30.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's a 68.
Oh, it went up a little bit. It was at 64 the other day. When it goes to 60, a lot of people have their pullout stops at 60. As soon as they hit 60, it's going to 50. As soon as they hit 60, it's going to 50. And there's some traders who can make money as it's doing this. But I'm not the trader guy. I don't have time for that. I'm the long time put some money in it for a little bit. Zcash, I think Zcash works. Don't get mad at me. This is not financial advice, but, Zcash.
Sorry, sweet, Isaac. Roy is not giving you financial advice.
Not giving financial advice. I am not a crypto guy. I'm just going by what I think from what I read. It's my opinion. I could be totally wrong. Yeah, that's what I think. And then next year, I think stocks will follow. And I don't know when we're going to usher in, the Fed coin, but I think America is going to do their own crypto Fed coin. I don't know if that'll be next year or 2028, but in that transition, there's a lot of change. I think that's the word for the year is change, legit change, financial changes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, final question for you today is, In 2026, you know, we've spoken a lot about AI and how to use AI in AI business and such and such and so on and so on. What do you foresee the sort of the next, if I can say, AI frontier of here that will start to have years here? Do you foresee anything in that space?
AI is insane. And if you're not using it, if you are not using AI, and I don't mean ChatGPT, I mean, if you're not actually learning it, and let me just tell you, I created a bot on my phone called it Tiffany because my assistant's name is Tiffany. Yeah. And so I gave it all of Tiffany's emails. Tiffany has 5 emails. It can control the emails. It can reply to people. It can text people. I have it every morning at 8 a.m. I used to have to do this. I'm doing it more. It goes through all those emails that I send. It drafts replies. Let me know what the replies was and what's going on. It then takes their names, adds it to my CRM so I know when to follow up and who it is and what's going on. It wrote a 60,000 book for me last night while I was sleeping. I told it to do it. It can literally do anything I can do and more because I can't code. And it coded that app that I had that idea for. We are living at the time where if you have an idea, you can execute it in a day and put it out into the marketplace. If you got to be using AI, if you're applying.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fat cook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USave stores? Enjoy nutritious and delicious meals for the whole family. 2 kg real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only 99.99 Namibian dollars. 3 kilos Polana pasta, just 74.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Romy 37% fat spread, just 14.99 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliter crystal gold tomato sauce, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. USave, where good food costs less.
If you got to be using AI, if you're a plumber, use AI. No matter what business you're in, you need to use AI. If you can't learn it, go hire one of these kids who knows how to do it to come implement it in your business, because it can do so many people's jobs now. Everyone who doesn't work with their hands, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Like, it's here now. It's just people aren't implementing it. It's here now. I literally made my own. It can do anything I can do. And then the robots are coming soon too. Like, you can get a, I was telling my girl, I was like, we might get a robot to clean a house and do some stuff. It's $20,000.
About that one, what's the name?
There's a bunch of different ones, but one of my friends who owns a home health, he's already using robots to prevent falls at his home health. The robot, and it records everything. So not only does it prevent falls, but it records everything. So there's no more, there's an issue with abuse, with the elderly. There's never no, there won't be no abuse because it records 24/7. So if anything happens, it's gonna fail what happened. So.
Yeah, the one I wasn't about it, when I saw it, like, I just can't get the name, but it's like in the pilot's face. They released a commercial that went viral online. Then it came out later that these bots, a lot of people, are ordering like for their home, like to clean or whatever, when you're not at work, it's actually getting like more control, try like, I'll do it in Taiwan or something like that.
And they.
So it's not as robotic, like I made it seem.
It's robotic, trust me.
That's what I mean.
It's autonomous, trust me. It's autonomous. It's when they're showing you the marketing, they want it to look perfect so they don't make it autonomous. But my AI that I created on my computer locally, I can connect it to bar. I connect it to my house. I could connect it to the robot. And then the robot has cameras on it, so then it could just control. It can do everything. One of my mentors, Dan, he has robots that cook and clean and serve them food and bring drinks. He says sometimes they trip over themselves and they fall. Right? not a lot. Yet this is here. This is here. Do not cope and think it's not going to work. Do not cope and think it's going to be 10 years from now. It is here now. The fire is on your butt. You need to learn this stuff and you need to be implementing your company. And here's an opportunity. And companies I buy, or if you guys decide to buy companies, you can make it way more lean with AI. You can make it way more lean.
True. I think the one I was talking about is Neo robot. You heard of that one?
I've probably seen it. There's about eight different types. They're from China right now. There's a bunch of different. Elon will probably be the night. Whenever he's dropping, he is, because he has the most data on people talking with Twitter. Watch Hende. I'm gonna text you. I'm gonna have my assistant text you. You can talk to her. I'm gonna have it text you.
Okay. What do you use your
I build. It's called OpenClaw. You have to have some coding skills, but I coded it into my actual computer. So nobody online is looking or spying on me. It's on my actual computer. And then I power it with AI as a brain. So I'm powering it right now with Codex GPT 5.2. But I can also I'm going to add more AIs to it. So you can have multiple, LLMs, you know, the LLM guys is a long language Maya. It's just a fancy word for the AI. So I'm going to have, Kimi as a LLM on there, Opus as a LLM, ChatGPT as a LLM, and then DeepSeek, because each one is better at different stuff. ChatGPT and Opus can talk to you better. It's more personable. DeepSeek's good for scraping the internet if you needed to scrape and look at different stuff on the internet. Kimmy's different for, it can talk and do different things. And then for the local things on my computer, I also host Ollama locally and just let it use Ollama as a default. And then it upgrades whenever it needs to go on the internet or different stuff. But, that's literally everything's here. So now we have computer, we have context, we have LLM as the brain. that robot Hyundai, if I had one right now, I could add Tiffany to the robot, and Tiffany could control the robot in the real world.
No, that's Jake.
So, though, for the people listening, AI here is not, there's no running from it. Should use it wherever you can in your daily life, in your workplace. But unless on the road you have anything else you want to share before I let you go this evening?
Yeah, ask questions. Question us. You're gonna believe. You're gonna start to believe. Cause as we do more episodes and we'll do an episode where we'll start to show actually what's happening behind the curtains. You know what I'm saying? You doubt, we'll demonstrate. We'll demonstrate.
Yeah, there we go.
Literally, I'm gonna start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Literally, as we're talking right now, I got here you go. Someone reached back out to me from the email campaign trying to buy their business. And, they said, the ball is in your court. Feel free to contact me. I'm sending you the summation again. It's buried in your end. This is, I'm not going to say what industry because I don't need people in my industry, but his name is Jim. And right now, cause my assistant does this in the morning. So right now, let me see if I can put this on camera. Some of you guys can't see this on camera, but we'll post it. We'll try to post it. But, I'm telling my AI right now on my phone, I'm texting it. And I gave it its own phone. I have two phones. I gave it its own phone and I'm saying, check my emails and reply and add to CRM. Now it does this automatically, but it does it in the morning. So, and this happened later. And I could also set up what's called a heartbeat where it'll check something every hour, every 10 minutes, whatever I say for that heartbeat. So
yeah.
Let's see if I can zoom in on this. So I just text it to her and then you can see Connor.
Yeah, I see you there.
So you can see it says typing.
Oh, that's dope.
And she'll reply. So she's working through it right now. She's doing it. And then she'll let me know what she did and what happened, what was said, blase. So I could have been anywhere and done this. I could have been at the beach. I could have been chilling anywhere. You don't have to be at your computer as long as this is on Wi-Fi. Look, there it goes.
Man, that was pretty crazy. We're done. I'm done on the book. That's nice. That's nice. That saved a lot of doing, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. 60K book that I wrote for someone. And this guy that I wrote the book for, he went on Joe Rogan. So he's going to go back on Joe Rogan in this book. Let's say he sells 100,000 books. He'll make $3 million. And then I'm going to be like, hey, you didn't give me $300,000 at Amazon money.
And I did no work.
No doubt. All right, people, most of you listening on radio might not have seen, but there you heard it. Use AI. Make it your friend. Make it your best friend. And you will succeed in life, in business. And like Roy said, if you're sending out any questions, maybe we'll do we'll start establishing a hole or something. So we can on have all the questions centralized around point. And we'll ask them to Roy next week and as the weeks go. But this has been another great edition of Business Witness. Roy, good friend, Roy Red. And we will see you guys next week, same time, same place. Roy, boys, and for a great episode.
Yes, sir.